Hello, welcome to AfterBuzz TV, The 100, Season 3, Episode 15. We have lots for you today. Please stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, lifting us higher. Welcome back. So glad to have you. I'm your host, Tara J. Miller. I'm joined by two wonderful panelists. Ben Bateman!
What's up, everybody?
Nice to see y'all. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for watching the show. I'm so excited to talk about this.
Oh, yeah. Alexa Torres!
Hey, everybody. You can find me where all shenanigans ensue at atorres890. Sorry, I just wanted to dance a little bit.
Hey, we're all dancing over here.
Yeah.
Get with it, Ben.
I was dancing, and then I went into my, newscaster. Hello, I'm Ben Bateman.
You can find me at Tari J. T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
Oh, I'm really glad we got your AI voice right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I was going to make you do it.
I knew everyone was waiting for it. So
I'm so proud of you, because I was going to be like, excuse you.
Oh, I'm on it, baby.
Yeah.
Back in action. Anyway,
I forgot about that. I totally forgot what the AI was.
Yeah. Everybody said I was really creepy and did not like mine.
I always wonder on audio, do you guys ever want on audio when people can hear us and they've never watched us, what they think we actually look like?
Yeah.
You know, somebody told me that listened to my Magic the Gathering podcast for a long time, and they just thought I was Asian for a year. That's what they thought. I was a little skinny, like a little skinny Asian kid. And I met the guy, and I was like, I don't know, I've never heard that. That's strange.
Is it because you're always talking about the time when your parents immigrated here from Asia and then raised you?
No, that was just on a video only special episode. It wasn't the normal podcast.
Okay.
So I don't know. He must have been a super fan or something.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
Anyways, we're gonna talk about the 100 today. It was a very crazy episode.
Yeah, a lot of near death.
Whoa,
yes. Near death.
There was a lot of near death, death, so much craziness, and I love it. So good.
I usually start with general thoughts, but I don't care about your general thoughts. I want to talk about Clark and Rowan.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I love that he came back. I think you guys were talking last week about how we haven't seen him in a while.
Yep.
And he was built up to be this great thing, mm-hmm. and then he kind of just, went away.
Yeah.
He didn't have that sweet of a furt. He was just okay.
Yeah.
He's just that guy.
Yeah. But now he's back, and he's part of the plan. He joins the gang after saving Clark.
Right.
I mean, when they start off, I'm just going to skip over him being in jail, because it doesn't matter. He joins them because they're all friends.
Right.
They have
all buddies.
Yeah. They have the same goal. They're trying to get the flame into Antari.
Right.
And it seems like a viable plan. They're going to try to shock Allie out of her, as she's the only Nightbleeder left.
Yep.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yep. Nightbleeder, but.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Nightbleeder.
Woo. All right.
You forgot to push up your glasses there.
I'm not wearing them this week, Kara.
So, I mean, it seems like a viable plan. Did you guys think? Because I know that when we had a little chatter at the table that he might have been chipped. So did you guys think it was going to work? Did you guys think that they were right to team up with him or what?
My first reaction is it was sweet that he came in with the arrow and was hiding behind a tree. He's really handsome and he's a good warrior. It was good to see him again. But beyond that, as far as teaming up goes, I was kind of surprised that why is it the characters in the show recently can just take a bullet in the arm and then just be fully functional, or get stabbed with a screwdriver and just kind of not really act like they just got stabbed with a screwdriver?
Adrenaline. Yeah. I don't know.
There's just a lot. I mean, with him, it's you get shot in the arm and literally, unless the only thing that happened is it grazed the very, very outside of your skin, did not touch the muscle fibers.
Mm-hmm.
If that bullet went through your bicep at all, that arm is unusable. You can't use it. He's not going to be able to fight. And,
right.
I'm just going to say grounder. And
yeah,
he's
right.
just real strong, that guy.
Bellamy, you shoot him in, yeah, anyway. Shot him in the arm. I guess it's just as bad as the leg. The leg would have been pretty bad, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed him to be functional. As Indra says, you can't be useful if you're dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
The dead can't help us, is that what you said?
That's
yes.
That's a better reading of the line that I screwed up.
It's a good line, though.
Thank you.
Because I wrote it. But so in this sequence, we find out that there is a traitor amongst them. So Allie knows all about their plans.
Yeah.
And so essentially they're walking into a trap.
Yeah.
That's a trap. I feel like we have to at least reference it at least every season.
Yeah.
Since we've been on this panel. I think we've said it more than once.
Well, there's always a trap.
Always
a trap.
Because, like, the whole idea of the show is that people's plans never go according to plan. And never. So they'll always have, like, a big elaborate scheme set up. Mm. And they're going to be like, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We'll have a big montage of them prepping for the plan. Everyone's going to be on board. And then all of a sudden, it just goes to crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how life is in some ways. And that's how the show is. It's a reflection of a realistic situation that the best laid plans of mice and men are always set to go awry.
Right.
And so we get this incident where essentially Rowan is shot, and they take Clark in to essentially torture the keyword out of her.
Hmm.
I mean, and I like that we got a reunion between Abby and Clark.
Right.
But it was a little dark.
It was super dark.
Yeah.
Oh man, everything that happened.
I don't like it.
The stabbing. I like the hanging.
It. Yeah.
It was a lot.
It was too much.
Too much?
This is very graphic. I mean,
well, it wasn't like that much. It was more just like, okay, maybe it's because I just watched Game of Thrones all over again. If you haven't watched, then I'm not going to spoil it for spoilers. You. But there's just a lot of hanging involved, and I'm like, stop it. I need to be able to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
The hanging was intense. I never understand when you see, like, I've never witnessed a hanging.
Right.
And I've never.
I hope you haven't.
Right. Yeah. I've witnessed a lot of them in movies. Yeah. It happens in movies and television with some frequency.
Right.
And it's always, like, hard to see. Like, you can never tell. Like, for instance, it looks sometimes like your neck just snaps and you're dead.
Yeah.
Other times it looks like you're pretty much just done within, like, 10 or 15 seconds. But then in situations like this one, it seems like she was hanging for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that maybe the rope was poorly put together.
Maybe,
and
yeah.
It just didn't work, and that's why she was practically choking to death.
Right.
Which
right.
is so scary.
Yeah, and a combination of her also being without feeling. So
yeah.
Then essentially because part of the thing that snaps your neck is it being tense. And so once it's tense, it's like when you have silly putty.
Yeah.
If you do it slowly, it stretches. But if you do it quickly,
it snaps. Right.
And
right.
So that's how the neck works, essentially. The more you know.
Very nice, Tari. Super educational.
Yeah.
It's a good subject to talk about a lot. Not funny at all. Not funny.
No,
at all,
no, of course no, not. Terrible. It's really rough.
Yeah.
Ugh. Hanging is gross.
Yeah, and but, that's why that scene was rough to watch. It was just nobody wants to watch someone pretty much choking to death.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, well, it's not really that funny, but it was very interesting because we all talked about that Abby could be next because she could be expendable and she could die. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, this is it. I didn't want to watch her die, but this must be it. And also just like she's changed already. So like she looks
right.
a little bit different now. Her hair's a little darker.
Yeah.
I was just like, are they prettying her up? Because sometimes they do that with some
right.
of them. Not with just this show, but in shows in general.
Right.
If you notice, if they're paying a lot of attention to one character and they kind of pretty her up,
uh-huh.
she usually ends up dying. I don't
yeah.
know why I noticed that. That's just something I noticed.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And so seeing that, I was kind of like, oh my God, I think she's going to die. And she didn't, luckily, I guess. And it was just really hard to watch because it's and I felt bad for Clark because she knew what was happening, but it's still your mom.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, that was intense. I mean, the crying as she was, like, watching.
Ugh,
yeah.
I can't.
Oh, man, it was brutal.
I can't.
Good, it's a good performance by Liza Taylor, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
fantastic.
And you have to respect her character for not giving up the password, even
yeah.
though it's her mom being
totally
murdered.
She's
but
strong.
I'm also proud of these, I don't want to keep calling them kids, but I'm proud of these young adults because they've gone through so much
right.
watching so many people of their, like, so many of their loved ones die, but they're still pushing for their goal, which
yeah.
is kind of crazy. Like
yeah.
the fact that Monty killed his mother,
mm-hmm.
and now this. It's
mm.
just bananas,
yeah.
as you would put it.
Yeah, the whole torture scene, it's kind of like eerie every episode to watch all these characters be these like mindless zombies. It's
mm-hmm.
like it's so eerie to
like
watch.
Kane?
Yeah. It's so eerie to watch them, like, their actions be so different. And I like that so many of them have been chipped at this point.
Yeah.
So many characters we thought wouldn't be chipped, and they're just all turning.
There is one person I'm upset that's chipped.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid Jasper. stupid Jasper.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would... it was so random. We're jumping there now.
Yeah.
So we mentioned that there was a traitor amongst them, and it was Jasper.
Wow.
Guys, I know that we're probably going to get crap for this, and I don't care, because I am upset because I don't know from what point to this point that he took the chip. I need to know
when it happened. Yeah, we didn't see it. Like, so right. So it was, we're assuming, because the story he told, it was after they were on the raft.
Yes.
So, but when would he, like, even have a chip?
Well, what I was figuring was that when he was escaping from the Arcadia and he bumped into Clark, I was thinking that maybe he took it already and he was just playing dumb the entire time. Mm. That's my prediction. I don't know if it's true. I don't even know if we're even going to see how he got chipped, but right. I don't know if it matters.
It would seem like they would want to explain it at some point, right?
I think they kind of explained it in that, like, I mean, since the tanker was attacked by Allie's people, I would imagine they had chips on them.
Right.
They either forced him and his story was that he chose to do so, or after seeing what they had done, because he's said many times that
a lot of people are saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you,
but
a lot of people in the chat saying that he did take it on the oil rig.
Right.
Yeah. So you're onto something there. I was not even paying attention at that point. I was just like, you guys need to get out. Everyone's dying. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, what made it most upsetting is that we finally had a real character moment for him.
Oh,
like, I thought
so great.
He'd reached his arc.
Yeah. I know, and it was all fake.
Yeah.
It was all nonsense.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because when he said, oh, that old plan, it sounded weird to me. I was kind of like, why would you... Jasper doesn't say crap like that, so where did that even come from? It sounded weird. It sounded off to me.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he continued, and then we had our cute little touching moment, and then he stabbed him with a freaking screwdriver. Some BS, tell you.
The screwdriver stabbing I was surprised by, but then I was
so mad.
So at first he's like, it looks like he's bleeding quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and he's like lurched over, and you're like, oh man, like you get stabbed in the stomach. I know there's a lot of talking about like literal wounds and like why I do or don't agree with the way people reacted to them. Like, I realize that.
No, but like,
never been stabbed somebody with a screwdriver, never taken a bullet in the arm or shot someone in the arm, never been hung or hung someone. So like, none of this comes at all from any logical place.
But Ben reads a lot of books and he watches a lot of television.
No, but I have
watch a lot of YouTube videos. Yeah.
But I also agree with you that in most situations, fictional wise, maybe, I have no idea, is that a lot of people who end up getting stab shot or anything of that nature in the gut area usually don't last
it
very long.
It seems really painful. So, like, that's, he gets stabbed and his first reaction seemed correct.
Yeah.
But then he's able to, like, get the thing and, like, run full speed down a hallway, like, get in a door.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. I would say that was definitely adrenaline.
Yeah.
I mean, and he did stitch himself up and he mentioned that basically, like, it hit nothing vital. And because when it comes to your guts, another...
Oh, Tari educational moments!
When it comes to your guts, like, it's essentially like you have your stomach and then you just have miles and miles, not literally, but miles and miles of intestines. And so if you can manage to get in between those intestines, then essentially you're just puncturing the derma and then you're fine.
And some muscle.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then it's just bleeding and making sure you stop it before it...
Right.
Right.
You know,
like she said, it's like if you hit something that was more important, you would not have woken up, so...
Yeah.
No. You would be a dead man.
I like that he was really worried about Harper, though. That was really cute.
Yeah, ship is fun.
I was really surprised that it wasn't Harper, but at the same time, it makes sense why it would be Jasper, so... I'm still upset.
I really thought it was Harper.
Jasper,
though. It adds to the drama, and also the fact that now I really hate his character just a little bit more than I did before. I was really rooting for him to be better.
I'm just very curious when it happened. You guys said it already.
I mean, to me, from a storytelling standpoint, I'm all about the arcs. I talk about it all the time, guys.
Yeah.
I felt like him being chipped... Him choosing to take the chip, if that is the truth,
right,
was a step back for his character. I felt like, because the Jasper that we had started to get to know again was really like coming back into the fold, and he was really like understanding, like, the, you know, the world is hard, yes, but like friends and stuff.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's like his conversation with Monty was like everything that you would expect his character arc to actually be.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that it's also more in character for him because he was so eager to take the chip before, even though he saw what it was doing to people. But I feel like after killing a girl that he's slowly started to fall for, and then she dies, I feel like he's like, I can't do this anymore, just give it to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? That also seems like his character. It's a terrible way to go, and we want him to, again, do better. But I feel like that might have been his breaking point where he just snapped and he's like, I don't want to feel it anymore. I'm tired of it.
There's also the moment of weakness factor, which is like, it's, you know, we they're characters on television, so we fictionalize how brave and strong and courageous they all are and how intense their willpower is. But like, when these kids are like, what, 18, 19, 20? Like 19, I think. Some younger, even.
Yeah, probably about 19 at most, because all of them
They were all juveniles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably 18, 19. Like, 18, 19-year-old kid, like, if you're going through it, I mean, that's, like, at 18, 19, I was liable to do some very irrational or nonsensical things in emotional moments.
Right.
And, you know, you take this chip. It's not like you have to shoot yourself. You're just putting a chip in your mouth. It's like, you're not looking at a gun and going, like, I'm choosing to throw my life away if I make this decision. You're going, this might make me happier. I'll just take this thing and see what happens.
Yeah, and that's like essentially what he kind of did. Yeah, exactly. It was just kind of, he's tired of feeling all the pain. He's hit that point.
I guess so. I didn't feel like it was dire enough. Especially considering what he knows and how people act on the chip, I didn't feel like it was warranted that he was like, yeah, this situation right now is when I should take this chip.
Right.
Because my chips are down.
Oh!
Yeah! That was good.
That was for you, audience.
Oh, God, kill me now.
That's a good one, Tari.
You still got lots of time left.
Damn it.
Anyways. But while this is I like, also, that we got a real, like, Shining type vibe.
Right?
Yeah.
With him messing with the door and talking through it and putting the gun up to the door, I was just like, all right, when's Jack Nicholson going to come out with an axe?
Yeah.
Right.
Which, I mean, kind of plays into what we've been talking about the last few weeks about the whole, like, horror sci-fi.
Horror thing. Yeah, totally. We're just more of the same. I love that they're going in that direction.
Oh, I hated him when he was just like, squeak.
Yeah, right.
I'm with his finger. I was just like, please stop. I hate this so much.
The weird thing is that a lot of these characters that are so, like, zombie-ish and acting so weird, in movies, usually, they all die. They get killed. Mm-hmm. The crazy ones, like when the person you know, like, turns out to be a psychopath in the scary movie, he dies. And then their two heroes survive at the end. But, like, none of these mains, for the most part, are going to die. Like, I don't think they're going to end up killing most of them. I think most of them are going to get turned back.
You never know.
Maybe.
I don't think we're going to see Abby, Kane, Jasper, Jaha, Pike. Oh, no, Pike's good.
Yeah.
Who else is chipped?
Well,
Pike's on the good side. He might just die anyway, but I'm trying to
think. He's bleeding out pretty hardcore right now.
He's like a fairly main character that's chipped. I don't think we're going to see, like, all of them die. One or two might die, maybe, but even that's a stretch.
Yeah.
You know, they would have killed Clark's mom right then if they were going to kill her, I think.
I thought that was definitely going to happen. I was very surprised that she survived.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was by a very narrow margin.
Oh, yeah, very.
I'd agree that they won't kill them all, but, like, I think that there's going to be irreparable damage.
Right.
And because right now they're down to essentially two plans, and one of them just fell through.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Raven, who's trying to get a back door into Allie's program, and she's trying really hard.
I'm proud of her. Like, yeah. She's not giving up.
Which gumption. She's got gumption.
Mm-hmm.
She's got that moxie.
They really pushed Lindsay's character this season. They really pushed her.
I feel like they pushed a lot of these characters through, but I think Raven and Octavia went through a lot. yeah. this season for sure.
Yeah.
And definitely Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel really bad for Murphy.
Murphy's so amazing.
He's cool. He's going to be the one that saves everybody, and it's going to be great.
I loved the line when he was like, looks at Bellamy, looks at him, and he's like, "Why are you here?" And he's like, "I'm just surviving, man." He's like, "I'm just trying to survive." And you're like, you're always just trying to survive. Yeah. That's all you're ever trying
to do. That's why he's always getting the crappy end of the stick, because he's just trying to coast.
But then he corrects himself, and he's like, there's somebody up there I'm trying to save, too. Or somebody out there I care about, too. So I thought that was good, that he was like, I'm really cool, but I still care.
Oh, yeah, he's that bad boy that, like, has the heart of gold. He can't show it, because it's not manly. He's a total bad boy.
So good.
Going back to the days when he just murdered people, it's hard to remember that.
I don't even want to bring that up.
Speaking of that, when Jasper was listing off everyone who died.
Guys, I know that was a terrible time to be doing that. I was cracking up because I was remembering every single death since season one.
It was really good. Like, I imagine the writer's room where they're like, how did we kill everyone? They just bring out the list and they're like,
that's your lines.
Yeah. Just read this. Ninja Star. That was a good one.
I love that because it's just if we all decided to watch season one again, we would just be like, oh yeah. I love how you brought up the fact that he survived from a spear attack, because I still, anytime I show anyone season one, I'm just like, and random spear, because that's what it was.
We really do. I really need to. I think we as a group should, but I can only speak for myself. I really need to go back and watch the whole thing again.
Twice. You did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woof. That's all I'm gonna say. The season two was definitely the better season.
Season one
out of all of them. Yeah.
It's the best of the...
It's not bad. It's just... It's like an introductory season.
Right.
We're really trying to get to know people. Obviously, we had our few twists that was like, holy crap, that's crazy. Like...
Do you like two more than...
R.I.P. Wells.
Do you like two more than three?
Well...
I know. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence.
Three's been so interesting. Three, so much has happened.
I think I like two because it was just... everything was not uneventful. No, it was... Everything was just... You weren't expecting a lot of things that were happening. This one was also unexpected, but some of them you were kind of like,
right.
But I definitely like season two more.
I loved the Lincoln drug storyline in season two. That was one of my favorite storylines.
No, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I liked. I mean, I know that it's a very touchy subject, but I loved the introductory of Lexa.
Oh yeah, just all her stuff in season two.
Cool. And I liked our villains in Mount Weather too.
Yeah,
I thought they were great.
I would say that season two was very much more of a character story, whereas season three is definitely more on the sci-fi concept-y.
Again, I don't mind.
No,
I think it's really interesting.
It's developed really well, I think. Like, the entire City of Light getting chipped, like, all that stuff. I think they've done a great job with getting us to this point now. Because I am fascinated with what we're going to see next episode.
Right.
It's all going to resolve. There's so much to be curious about.
Or not resolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And leading up to that, I really want to talk about this badass elevator scene.
Guys, favorite scene of the entire season was this elevator scene. It was so good.
It was amazing. I think it was probably one of the most action-packed scenes we've had this season.
This entire season.
Yeah, maybe even like... I would say maybe even like in the series.
I think so.
Like, because it had the most like in-your-face action. The pacing was amazing. Yeah, it was intense. There were stakes. It was just nonstop. It was heart pounding.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really well shot and really well acted, and there were a lot of great character moments. Like, even the stuff leading up to it. We had the stuff with Brian and Miller talking about their future home.
Planting corn and a house on a lake.
And raising chickens. Guys, I was tearing up.
Old.
If you're just thinking about it, it makes me want to tear up. And I hate it because Bellamy looked at them like, oh, guys, you're so adorable, but we don't know if this is going to happen.
Right.
I was like, stop.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Brian didn't die this episode, but maybe he'll die next episode.
That's true. Got shot in the leg. Yeah. We don't know.
Did you notice that they called Miller Nathan and Nate in this episode?
Yeah.
I liked that.
I thought that was the first time I'd ever heard his full name.
No, I think we heard it before, but I don't remember when.
I think it was mostly like Murphy, though.
Yeah.
I think everyone else calls him Miller, but Murphy. Because when Murphy came... I had forgotten how long it's been since those two had seen each other.
Yeah.
Right.
So like, it was a nice alternate reunion as well.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So when the two sides come together, I like all the little pieces of tension as well, how we had Octavia, who was desperately trying to kill Pike.
Oh, man, I definitely thought that was going to happen, and I'm really glad that it didn't, because that tension was palpable.
It was great, though.
I was kind of curious if she was just going to go for it. In the middle of the whole plan, just screw it all up and just kill Pike?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have been that, like, surprised or disappointed. It would have been kind of a badass thing for her to do. Like, she's just fiery, and she's just like, I don't care about it.
But I am glad that Indra is the one who's just like, this isn't going to resolve anything. Because remember, we had Indra trying to kill him just a few moments ago. But I love that she has learned from this experience that we need him, even though we hate him and all of his guts and glory.
He's a warrior.
We need him.
I think that is one of the... Like, if I were to count genius things about this season, it would be that we've built this character up to be such a hated character.
Yeah.
And now we have to work right beside him. Not even just for the drama factor, but the fact that, like, it made his character so gray.
And the fact that we even got to learn that he wasn't always like this. It's what he became because of the situation that we were in.
Yeah.
Because everyone, you could still be good at heart at one point. And then situations happen, and then you change. People do change, even though you might not think it does.
Yeah.
You know, and I really liked that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think they've done a great job this season, and this show does a really great job with taking characters that they'll give you moments. I've said this before, but they'll give you moments where you feel like a character is a cliche or that it's too simple. Like, this character, why would Bellamy think that they can get away with not killing these people? They have to save these people. And then it's like, they just kill a bunch of them anyway, and then he has to kill some because it's just like, Bellamy, you want to do the right thing here, but that's not going to work. You're going to have to just murder people, and it's not right, but it's just the way it is. And you know, giving him that point of view, but then having to when he realizes that he does, I like that. It's always like interesting that these characters always are more complex and more flawed. They're more naive than we think sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's an attitude that Clark has a lot through two seasons. I keep, you know, looking back and forth.
No, here, hey, that's fine. I was like, I don't know if you want me to move.
No, no, it's good.
Feast your eyes on whatever you want. You got some good chocolate on both sides.
We are the Oreo, and I think it's great. but I love that you said that. I don't know why, but like when you were talking about... like Indra's advice and stuff like that. It sounded like Matthew McConaughey was trying to give advice. I don't know why that went into my brain, but it did. But I think that it's also really cool to see Indra also grow more to talk about her was the fact that she used a machine gun this scene when we all remember that she was like,
no guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now that we've gotten to that point where we don't have a choice now. And it was crazy to see how far they have come to the point where Indra is using a machine gun to get through stuff.
Yeah, y'all better hit the floor. I think you guys better hit the deck or something.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then she was still holding it the entirety of the time.
Yeah.
Nuts.
So where did each thing leave off? So she dives to get Kane, the explosion goes. We don't see what happened, right?
Yeah. I have a bad feeling Indra's injured.
Yeah.
I was trying to say that all in one sentence.
That seems likely. Harper... She's on the ground out there outside the room with Jasper, right? We didn't see that resolve. So Raven and Monty are trying to decide if they're going to destroy this machine, this sweet Matrix enabler machine inside the room.
Uh-huh.
We have Antari, who took a massive rod to the head.
Yeah.
Guys, I wasn't ready for that. I was like, what's happening? Now what?
I thought that was hardcore. Yeah. Like, I like Allie in that she's definitely like... has a very mechanical way of thinking of things.
Yeah.
And so she's like, they need this. Can't have this.
Yeah.
Must destroy this.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like how it was like, we must kill Antari. Don't stab or shoot her. Hit her with this rod.
No,
like,
but...
Just like hit her with this rod as hard as you can in the head.
Yeah.
But it made sense because I guess instead of killing her completely, it was mostly just making her brain dead. That's where I was like, yeah, this is an AI talking for sure. Because to us it would be like, oh, you wanted to kill her? We could just shoot her.
Right.
Yeah. Easy. But like, I love how she was very articulate about it and was just like, no, we'll just crush her brain forever. It's fine.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That's crazy, because then you can't even bring her back at all, because it won't even matter. So nuts. Sorry.
So she's just bleeding out there, and her brain's been crushed. Her brain is severely damaged. It's just, oh my God, gnarly stuff. Just so much. So much crazy and gnarly and graphic and creative violence on this show.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like so intense. There's so much of it. Anyway, was that the last cliffhanger?
I mean, yeah, that was the very end piece that we had, where essentially all the plans have failed. The last contingency is Raven off on her side, but essentially, if she wants to save Harper, she has to destroy the machine.
Right.
And that's it. That's where we are.
But from our preview, we do get some very interesting stuff, which I think you predicted.
Clark going to the city light. Is that what, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Clark. Sounds like you need to be behind the spoiler wall in predictions.
Ooh, I like that. Yay!
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Yes. I do agree, Fifi. Yes, but Braindead is basically dead. You're correct.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah. I just like that it was a different way of killing somebody. Just
yeah.
Wanted to point that out.
Yeah. I mean, for all intents and purposes, if she wanted her dead, she'd just be dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But the fact that they went the extra mile to make her brain dead is interesting. But anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of brains, Clark's going into the City of Light, which, I think you predicted.
Yeah,
it's going to be sweet. I think Clark going into the City of Light is going to be awesome. Like, I just...
Like Inception status?
Yeah, I just like the idea of it. I like the idea of everything, it being a totally different playing field. They're going to be in...
I like seeing a new location.
Yeah, they're going to be in, like, that's a awesome. Clean city. Like, it's all beautiful and you know, new. Mm-hmm. And there's no pain. And Clark is going to be running around in, like... It looked like, from what we saw, she's in, like, clean I'm on the Ark still clothes. Yeah. Not like her, like, gothic warrior princess look that she's been sporting for a while.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I mean, I imagine it takes... Because in the City of Light, you take the appearance of what you feel like is your best self.
Yeah.
So I imagine that in her mind, the last place that she was pure and clean and good was on the Ark.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, so do you guys think that, because they have no way to communicate between the two sides, Raven can't communicate with Clark, Clark can't communicate with her, so do you guys think it's going to be a race?
Oh, no, I guess they can't communicate. I know that she can see where Clark is, but I guess she can't communicate to her. Because remember how she was able to see exactly where everyone was?
Yeah.
But then wasn't Monty's mother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking from the City of Light into...
Yeah, somehow she was patched through. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's Allie doing most of that. I mean, obviously she was helping, but I don't know if there was any way for Clark to be able to do that.
Like a digital ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I mean...
Help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, we'll have to find out. But, like, I think, to me, I feel like if they can't communicate, then there's going to be this race where Clark is trying to destroy Allie from the inside, but also Raven's going to be trying to destroy her from the outside. And then you have to try to get Clark out before it all collapses on itself.
Pull Clark, right. Because if you're in the City of Light, well, how does that work, though? Is it like in Inception or like The Matrix, where if you die in The Matrix, you die in real life?
That's the thing, is I don't know. Because, I mean, I'm assuming since it is your brain, I mean, apparently... from what I remember, it was her saying, at least Allie, that death is not in the City of Light. After you die here physically, you go there or you stay there.
Right.
So I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I don't know if it just shuts down everyone's brain.
Because I guess you got to figure, based on what we know, this is spoiler zone. So based on what we know, Lexa's supposed to be in the City of Light next week.
Right.
But it makes sense why she would be in there.
Yeah, totally. So my question is, like, we will get that. That's going to be a big moment.
Uh-huh.
And we'll definitely... seemingly get I'm just trying to figure out how does she say goodbye to Lexa like Lexa gets deleted, but they have to get Clark out.
Yeah.
So they'll EMP like bracelet Clark somehow and fry her chip so she's out of the city.
Right.
Or something. I guess that's what's gonna have to happen. Something like that. Because she's gotta go in there and do her stuff and win, and then they have to pull her out before they like destroy all of it.
That's true. Or
I think Lexa might help her a little bit. Maybe just to tell her how the City of Light works.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and obviously have major closure, which I was hoping that was going to happen in this next episode.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she will help to a point, or maybe not. I have no idea. But I think that's Lexi's there for closure and to maybe possibly help as much as she can.
Any character deaths you guys are assuming are going to happen next week? Big ones?
That's I definitely think Jasper's going to die either by Monty or Raven's hand. I'm assuming more of Monty because it makes more sense for him to do it. It will suck. I don't know if Harper's going to survive from that. Not to say that I want her to die. I feel like Jasper's going to die for just circumstantial stuff. I don't know about now. But and I think definitely Jaha is going to die.
Yeah.
And we're not going to see him for the next season.
Jasper, Indra, Jaha are the three that I'm calling.
I really hope Indra doesn't die, but I really wouldn't want her to die, but I would understand if she did.
Those are the three I'm calling.
Yeah.
All right. I would think if anyone dies, I think Kane is going.
No, why would you say that?
He's got such a sweet beard.
No, don't do it.
True. His beard can protect him from explosions.
I mean, yeah, there's that too. I think my third would be Abby. So Jaha, Abby, what did I say, Jasper?
I still think if they were going to kill Abby, they would have done it this week.
Right.
I don't think they're going to set her up for another death situation next week.
I'd agree.
I don't want them to take Kane, though.
What about Rowan? Is Rowan alive? What do we think?
I think that he's still alive.
I think he's going to come back in some weird way.
Or he's chipped. I think he might be either chipped or alive. Or alive and chipped.
Right.
Or just alive and captured.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they shot him. It looked like Kane shot him in the throat or, like, the chest.
I couldn't see where the bullet entered. I was very confused. Maybe it's because I looked away, but, I didn't know. But he was definitely bleeding a lot.
Yeah. What about Kane? Is Kane survive? Or not Kane. Pike. Does Pike survive next week?
Ooh.
It's a tough one. Pike feels like he's got to die next week. He feels like he dies next week, but in, like, a noble or honorable way, like saving someone or something.
Maybe.
He took a bullet already this week, I think.
That's true. In the thigh or somewhere in the hip, I think. I couldn't really see.
Side in his...
Though, to me, I think the most satisfying ending for Pike would be not to die, but to have him try to lead, like, once this is done.
Yeah.
To be like, I've worked with grounders now, I understand. And, like, to essentially have learned from that and try to be the leader he was supposed to be.
Right.
Oh no.
Mm-mm, okay. I don't want it.
All right.
No, I mean, if it happens, I'm not going to be like, oh, gosh dang it. But, like, I don't know. I feel like even though his death won't satisfy a lot of people, I think that seeing Octavia maybe get her revenge and maybe not like it after would be a very interesting learning for her character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, if he survives and he tries to do that, I'll be like, sure. Let's see where this takes us. I'm intrigued. You got me.
I wonder how they wrap things up, because now with the point we're at, so I think we all assume that the city, they'll win. So they'll win, they'll beat Allie. The City of Light will get, you know, erased and these people will die or whatever. But then, like, Lex is gone and we don't really have another commander. We don't have another commander. So, and like, I just don't know where are things going to stand. I mean, back to Arcadia maybe after they've, like, EMP'd some of these chips. But then what happens to the clans and, like, the city and all everything that was going on before?
They would probably have to – I don't want to be punny, but, like, they would have to rebuild. I think this would be the time to probably, after defeating Allie, that they would rebuild the city, since obviously it's kind of, we've lost a lot of good people.
Right.
That then at this point we would actually have Grounders and Arcadia actually working together, and then we'd find a new enemy.
A new
for
villain.
Season four.
Something else.
I mean, there are still 11 more clans left.
Yeah, we don't know anything about them yet.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many more enemies out there. There's so many more issues.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how sustainable following this group of people is.
Yeah, and also the fact of, now that we know that there was an oil rig and there was people on there, is there other locations that we could potentially
inhabit? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That maybe we can find out from the City of Light or not, maybe. Yeah. More information from there.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be into, like, a time jump, too. I think that'd be a really cool direction to take season four.
Well, yeah, because I was hoping that if we're in the City of Light, maybe we can, besides Lexa, we can see other past commanders, and maybe they can tell us where their clans are from.
Yeah.
And if they are even on this part of the island or wherever we're at and stuff. So, I don't know.
I think 2 years forward time jump would be cool.
Yeah, I would take three.
Yeah.
Instead of 3 months, let's do 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I would like to see how far our characters can grow.
Yeah.
And new characters, too.
Cool. I mean, and so I guess we'll have to wait until next week to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that finale.
It's going to be a big one.
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be a lot of drinking involved for me.
All right. So unless you guys have anything else, I think I'm going to wrap it up.
That does
it. Oh, yeah. No, I like it.
Awesome. All right. Thank you for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. Make sure you like and subscribe. Go on iTunes and rate us. Let people know that you love this show, because we love doing this for you. So let us know how you feel. We care about your feelings. So hit that star, 5 if you love us, 4 if you think we can improve, and then tell us you love us still, because we have feelings too. And make sure to hit that thumbs up, tell us you like us, and let us know what you thought of the episode. Until next week, keep in touch with us on social media. Mr. Ben Bateman.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me where all the shenanigans will ensue at atorres890.
Nice. And you can find me at Tari J, T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. We'll see you next week for the finale of the 100. Woo! Take care. Until then, stay grounded.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.